Welcome to Tal Prince Live, your Pharisee-free zone, where no topic is off limits and no sin beyond grace. Now your host, Tal Prince.
Well, happy Easter to you. Let me just tell you, if you don't know, Christ is risen. All right, let us bask and rejoice in that fact. I was really taken this year. I don't know if many of you read the lectionary or if that just like freaks you out, just the word. a lot of people get really weirded out by that. But the reading this year in the lectionary was the Luke passage for the resurrection, Luke 24, 1 through 10 specifically. But verse 11 gets to this, because here's Mary and Martha. They've been to the tomb and they come running back to tell the disciples. The disciples had been with Jesus. They had been with him all the time. They had seen the miracles. They had heard his teaching. They saw him. They heard him tell them, listen, I'm going to die, but in 3 days, I'm going to be back. All right. They'd heard it. They knew it. They'd been told. They've never had any reason to doubt Jesus. Mary and Martha come running back and say the tomb is empty. He's risen. And here in verse 11, it says they treated it like an idle tale. So let me just ask you, is the resurrection of Christ an idle tale to you tonight? Or is it real? Is it superstition? Is it myth? Is it an idle tale? Or is it something that is very, very real to you? All right. We welcome your thoughts and comments on that, as we always welcome your thoughts and comments. 877-800-8645, our number as every week, 877-800-8645. I am joined here in studio tonight by on the dials working the engineering end of the show, Garrett Tiny G. Irby. Garrett, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great, my man. Resurrection Sunday.
That's what I'm talking about. And ladies and gentlemen, I feel like Larry Munson calling a Georgia Bulldog game. On my left is M. Derek Jacks, the right reverend, I might add. And
that's a little bit of theme music.
Holy cow, Derek gets his own bumper.
That's wow. Right.
Holy.
That's right.
Come
right
on,
there.
A little Stevie for you, too. Right, which is, hey, it's good for you. But anyway.
Hunker down, you hairy dogs.
The right well, better than atomic dog. I don't know. But here is M. Derek Jacks, the right reverend. Derek, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing great, my friend. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. So yes, let me ask you a question, Derek, because I know you as a pastor and a right reverend.
Sure.
No pressure. Hey, so did you guys, at your church today, did you guys like offer any incentives to come to church for Easter Sunday?
Dude, you wouldn't believe it. We gave away Easter lilies. our budget wasn't what some other churches were.
Yeah. So hey, look, we're kind of making a little bit of a joke here, if you couldn't tell. Here's a question. Did you get offered anything to go to church today? There are a lot of churches offering some promotional things. There were churches giving away iPads today to come to church.
BMW. What?
Yeah. Here's what I love. Churches like having a lottery. They would vote against the lottery and scream at you, but they'll have a lottery, a raffle that chooses it. If you call it a raffle, you're clean. You're in the clear.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. So, they were raffling off iPads on Easter Sunday, to get people, to incent people to come to church, for Resurrection Sunday. Were you offered anything, to come worship a risen Savior today? Let us know if you were. 877-800-8645, or if you have an opinion on such. 877-800-8645. We would love to hear from you. Your call will be screened by the fantastic Casey Seabass Hobbs. He is in the call screening booth, anxiously awaiting your calls. And as he should be, he is there, happy and ready to go. And if you care about his sugar choice, because we come here after church, we're in Birmingham, right, Alabama. We get jacked up on a lot of sugar to do the show. And Casey went with a Mike and Ike's tonight, going old school. That's 2 weeks in a row. I mean, I'm not in the habit of seeing dudes, under the age of 25, riding that, going, hey, you know what I want? Yeah, some Mike and Ike's.
Mike and Ike.
How about some Good and Plenty? How about some snow caps?
But the peeps are on deck, right?
We got peeps on deck.
The peeps are on deck.
Peeps are in the house. So we are here. We want to hear from you. 877-800-8645. You are listening to Tal Prince Live. We'll be back on the other side of this break. A Sirius Satellite Radio, best radio on radio.
surely alive, and he's living on the inside. More than I can lie, my God's not dead. Surely alive, and he's living on the inside. More than I can lie.
Oh, that is a great and true message. Our God is not dead, but he's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Come on. David Crowder band there from the Passion CD, the most recent Passion CD, which we heartily recommend to you here at Tao Prince Live. Hey, so no one really cared to talk about being offered anything at church.
They must not have gotten offered anything.
Hey, but we will offer you peeps if you'll call.
We'll let you talk to Seabass in there if you'll call.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just beyond it all right
Yeah,
there.
We're not offering an iPad.
talk to Casey.
But I'll tell you, there is one in the studio.
Yes.
I don't mind telling you.
Yes.
I don't mind telling you.
Yeah.
Holy cow, what a device.
We're going to try to, make you confused and take it from you.
Strange yesterday. I mean, I went and got the iPad yesterday, so I had a reservation for it. Standing in line, before 9 in the morning on a Saturday, which is just not right.
No.
But in the rain, standing outside in the rain, and looking. So here comes all the Apple employees rushing outside to applaud all of us idiots standing out in the rain. Mm-hmm. And they're screaming and clapping for us and saying thank you. And I'm thinking, yes, I can spend money. Clap for me. Watch me.
Watch.
I will spend an obscene amount of money in your store. Keep clapping. So strange and odd but fun. Wow, what a device. Wow. I'm having a good time with that.
He's even thinking about going to spend more money so they'll clap for him some more.
Yeah, right? And tell you what, if you'll call us, we may clap for you.
That would be awesome.
877-800-8645.
You may be a winner.
Yeah.
That's right.
Don't
you could win
that.
A peep.
That was wrong. That was wrong. Well, let's get into something serious here. Enough of the frivolity and jocularity for those of you who used to watch MASH. to my right is Jack Gilliland. Jack got that. Jack enjoyed that joke. So. The young guys in the studio are like, MASH.
What does potatoes have to?
Yeah,
do
what
with
do potatoes have to do with this? So anyway, here's the deal. This weekend, Easter weekend, no coincidence. A man by the name of Sam Harris held something called the Atheist Resurgence in New York City, where he was trying to, he's trying to show that atheism is on the rise in America. I don't think any of us doubt that.
Right.
Whether it's atheism or a different cultural position, different philosophical position, I think largely people in America are largely nihilistic. That, life sucks, then you die. There you go. There is nothing else. We just, we live, we die, and we're done. That life's this meaningless circle of repetitive patterns leading nowhere. We had a show about it, a very popular show about it, one that we love here at Tao Prince Live. Seinfeld was all about nihilism. No
yes.
characters ever advanced. Nobody changed. No storyline ever resolved. Nothing ever fixed itself. And, the very first line, the very first episode of that show, Jerry is telling George, hey, that second button in your shirt is in the wrong location.
That's right.
On the very finale, the very last line, several seasons later, they're sitting in a jail cell. Jerry looks at George and says, that second button you're shirting is in the wrong position.
Yep.
Okay. So here was a several year long meaningless circle of repetitive patterns that ultimately led to nothing. And they said, this is a show about nothing. Nihilism is about nothing. I think a lot of people kind of are in that vein or in that camp. Waiting for something else, but and so to prove to them and to show them that there is an afterlife, there is something more, is our challenge there. But Sam Harris is completely solidly in the atheistic camp. He's a neuroscientist and a philosophy major. He got his neuroscience degree from UCLA, his philosophy degree from Stanford. I may have those reversed. He's
really smart.
Yeah, dude's a smart guy and, could wipe the floor with us, but we have Jesus. So
hallelujah.
Death is going to go a lot better for us, I'm just saying. But Sam, had the atheist resurgence in New York this weekend. 300 people showed up for the resurgence.
I thought you said they were going to watch the movie 300. Wow.
Which they might have done because they could have all fit into one theater. you know, I'm going to say a few more followers of Christ were active today, hopefully, than 300. And, you know, we did our part. We didn't have 300, but, you know, we're a small community.
That's right.
But between us and Derek Jacks, the right
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
we might have knocked it out.
Yeah,
you know, but so,
we probably got close to 300.
Anyway, here's Sam's position. Sam really ultimately, I watched a talk he gave at, you know, at the TED conference out in Long Beach, which is, you know, fascinating stuff, really. I mean, it really is. But so he gives this talk about how neuroscience is going to be able to solve moral questions.
Mm-hmm.
That this is how we can get there, that ultimately in the future we're going to be able to do brain scans, and this is going to be able to tell us, you know, how people are making decisions and whether they're making decisions rightly or wrongly, you know, that science can solve moral questions. And he has great problems with religion. He says we ought to ditch religion, that all religions should be ditched. And so he's really pushing this position hard. And, you know, he says that, you know, there are issues that are, you know, which show these tremendous swings in human well-being, and none of them are at the center of our moral concern. Religion has convinced us that there's something else entirely other than concerns about suffering. There's concerns about what God wants, and there's concerns about what's going to happen in the afterlife, and this is a problem for Sam. He doesn't like this. I mean, this is what he's saying. He says that they're nuts. They're talking about the afterlife, and they're asking questions like about what God wants and why should that matter. That gets in the way of morality. That, you know, that any concept of God cannot solve a moral dilemma, and that we ought to be using science for that. Although the science that he's touting that we should use for that is not yet in existence. But when he wants to talk about the evils of religion, he uses an example out of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about how an Islamic father, if his daughter, he used this in the TED talk, that if a Muslim's daughter, 13-year-old daughter, is raped, that his move is to kill her out of shame. Now, holy cow, that's egregious.
Mm-hmm.
That is awful. Terrible, you know. And he talks about Islamic women and how they, he talks about them dressing in bags. So apparently he's not down with the burqa. But he's, you know, he said that, you know, they dress in bags and they shouldn't have to do that, and that's wrong. Interesting. At the end of the talk, a guy running that session, a facilitator, comes out to ask him some questions, and it's very interesting. And he says, well, what would you say, though, to an Islamic woman or a group of Islamic women who say that this is they don't wear the burqas because they are told to, but because they believe deeply that this is, you know, that they should not be tempting men, that they shouldn't be viewed as objects of lust, and so this keeps that from happening, and they find great comfort in not being objectified and lusted after. What would you say to them? And, you know, he said, what if you had these brain scans, and these brain scans showed that they, you know, really believed that and that they thought it was the right thing to do? His answer was, well, they would be wrong.
Mm.
Well, now, wait a minute, dude. You can't say on one hand, here's the science that we should be using, and then say that science is ultimately fallible.
Mm.
Because this is the point of science, right? That you can repeat it over and over. And again, you know, and that it is repeatable, repetitive, and you get the same result. You know, so you can't say the science is then wrong in that case, because then someone has to make the decision. On what criteria do you make that decision? Ultimately, now you're back into man wanting to be like God. You're wanting man in God's position, and we're back to the garden in Genesis 3 and original sin, because this is the deal. This is how the enemy convinced Eve to go for it. He doesn't want you to eat it because he knows you'll be like him.
Mm.
Right? We mm-hmm. all want to do that. We want to be like God. This is one of our major struggles. It's kind of the root of all of our sin, is this greed and pride that we want to be viewed, you know, as like God. This is why in so many of our churches we kind of have this weird radar that says, well, the greatest Christians, the strongest Christians in our church are the ones who sin the least. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. We see this all the time. You let us know. Do you see this in your church? Do you see anybody saying, you kind of believe that, well, the best Christian in here is the one who sins the least? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Derek, interested in your opinion on, you know, on that, man. I mean, is that something that you've seen a great deal of?
Oh, all the time, man. You see people coming into church and – or they won't come to church because they feel like they have to get something cleaned up first. You know, I've got to do this first so I can then go and be presentable to the congregation at large. And, you know, it's really just not that way. I was speaking with a couple of people on Wednesday of this past week. Mm-hmm. That was their sentiment exactly, was that they don't go to church because if they were to show up, they would look at the people there, would judge them, and they wouldn't let them in.
Wow.
And so and I said, I understand that. I know that. But that doesn't mean that that's right. But what we do have to do is constantly remind people that Christ, as we did this weekend mm-hmm. at church, Christ mm-hmm. came to save sinners.
Right.
And unless you're a sinner, you can't be saved.
Exactly right. You know what? This is radical truth, Derek. I don't know about you, man. This is the thing. You've got to be a sinner in order to be saved. And we'll talk about that with Martin Luther later in the show, because I will just tell you right now, I am binging on Martin Luther right now. I'm just in an insane, you know, I'm going to need a Martin Luther 12-step program.
I think you're looking like him a little bit. The tonsure is a little.
Wow.
That's not a compliment. Yeah. Don't say that.
I'll say that, man. And hey, look, I can't be looking too much like him. I'm drinking water.
That's right. That's right. Vitamin
not,
water.
Drinking water, not whiskey.
Not Luther's preferred beverage.
That's wink, right.
Wink. So here you go.
Stuff we can do with water, though.
But. Well, yeah. So, man, you've got to be a sinner to be saved. Do you feel that you need to be kind of, you know, cleaned up before you can go to church? 877-800-8645. If you are struggling with that, I would love to hear from you. In fact, I'm going to challenge you to call me. If you are feeling like that, if you are feeling like, you know, that yes, I'm saved, but I, you know, I've blown it. And so, you know, God's turned his back on me, or God's got his arms crossed. He's pretty upset with me. And I got to fix this. And once I fix this, then I can go back. If you're struggling with that tonight, we would love to talk with you. 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on a Sunday night on Family Net, Channel 161. Oh, I'm always happy to hear a little Stevie Ray Vaughan on a Sunday night. Thank you, Gary. All right, so here we are. Do you struggle with this idea that you got to get cleaned up before you can come back to church? Is this anything that is a challenge for you? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Now, let me give you this. I teased this a minute ago. I'm just going to go ahead and bring it at you and see what you think, you know, because we really kind of want to, you know, we want to talk with you tonight. And this may generate some of that. And, yeah, hey, maybe not. Maybe everybody listening to this show is completely down with this because you understand that we live in a Pharisee-free zone here at Tal mm-hmm. Prince Live, that you understand that no topic is off limits. You understand no sin is beyond grace. But I told you, I've been deep into Luther. We talked about Luther a little bit last week here on the show, right, that he wrote this letter that, you know, our greatest encouragement and admonition to you is that you join our group of real great and hard-boiled sinners. You know, Martin Luther is the guy who led us away from the Catholic Church, that the Catholic Church was wrong, that it was corrupt, it was selling indulgences, all of these things. And he goes and just bangs his 95 thesis up on the door of the church, you know, this big stand. And, you know, they threaten his life for his writings. They're going to burn him at the stake. People following him are getting burned at the stake, dying. Absolutely one of the most courageous people that has ever lived, you know. I mean, but what God did through Martin Luther is amazing. But here is the truth about Martin Luther that a lot of people don't realize, because in an effort to keep any church leader clean and sinless, people haven't told you the real picture of Martin Luther. Martin Luther, an incredible sinner.
One of the best.
Yeah. What, just amazing. One of the best. He was amazing. You know, people stood in awe. Here's some of the truth, about Luther, just a great and epic sinner. Here is some of the stuff that he – I mean, he had an incredible anger problem, okay? An incredible anger. People would just – they feared his anger. Understandable that he would be so angry, at a time when he's, people are being burned for, listening to him. I'd be a little hot, pun intended. So here you go. He's angry. He said this. He said he couldn't even pray without cussing. Are you weirded out by that? Do you just think, holy cow, you can't do that? He said he could not pray without cussing. This dude drank like a fish, and trust me, he worked in profanity the way Monet worked in oil.
That's right.
All right? I mean, this dude said some stuff, all right? He had a mouth on him, and he also had deplorable hatred of Jews, things that he wrote just violent. So he had this deep-seated anger, against the establishment and anyone who disagreed with him. And, he was tough. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he's one of the church fathers. He's the reformer, right? I mean, holy cow. So how many of you knew that he was this dude? I mean, that, he was a big drinker and he cussed a lot and he couldn't pray without cussing and, just liked to stir up trouble. He was that guy. He's angry dude in a bar.
That is him.
That is Martin Luther, sitting around having great theological discussions in a bar and picking fights. That's Luther. So here's what he writes to one of his friends. And he writes to him this. And this has made people angry in the church for hundreds and hundreds of years now. These statements that are coming up. So, hey, controversial topic coming up. Controversial words back from Martin Luther. Here you go. He says this, be a sinner and let your sins be strong. All right. Just at that alone, how many of you are weirded out? I mean, how many of your pastors said to you today, hey, be sinners and go out and sin strongly?
Mm-mm. I didn't say that.
You didn't say that this morning?
I did not.
877-800-8645. What do you think about that? Luther saying, be a sinner and let your sins be strong. He also said, sin and sin boldly. Mm. Now, here's the next part of that, though. Be a sinner and let your sins be strong, but let your trust in Christ be even stronger and rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. All right. What do you think about that? Be a sinner and let your sins be strong, but let your trust in Christ be stronger and rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. Love to get your opinion on that. If you have one, this has been an inflammatory statement for centuries in the church. A lot of people want to try and make this statement go away or try and say, well, he didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean go out and sin boldly, although that's what he said. It's not what he meant. But there it is. Be a sinner. Let your sins be strong, but let your trust in Christ be stronger and rejoice in Christ, who is the victor over sin, death, and the world. We will commit sins while we are here, for this life is not a place where justice resides. Mm.
Thank God.
We, however, says Peter in 2 Peter 3:13, are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where justice will reign. Okay, now listen to this. Here he comes. It suffices that through God's glory we have recognized the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. No sin can separate us from him. Even if, here you go, you ready? I'm telling you, some of you are going to be very uncomfortable in just a couple of seconds. That's why I like him. Here we go. No sin can separate us from him. Even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each and every day, no sin can separate us from him. even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each day, do you think such an exalted lamb paid merely a small price with a meager sacrifice for our sins? Go and pray hard, for you are quite a sinner.
Wow.
What do you think, Derek?
The first part of that, sin boldly, just how he just tells us to strip away every bit of what we have that we would try to hide ourselves. Just get down to it. Understand it. This is who you are. And unless you understand that, just like I said earlier, you're not going to know Christ.
Mm.
And then even experience his benefits, of salvation. And then we get to this part about justice, how that is so contrary to where we want to be in our country and as Americans. We want to see justice done. Mm-hmm. But yet when we think about our own lives, we really don't want justice to be done. We don't want it to be happen to us.
Yeah.
And if it were to happen to us, we wouldn't know what to do. And so thankfully, and that's what this weekend has been just all about for myself and for the people that are in part of my congregation, and I know a part of yours,
mm-hmm.
Tal, is just the way that God protected us from his wrath and his justice upon his son. It was what we were to have happen to us that got transferred to the son.
Right. Right. And therein lies the scandal of the gospel, right?
Oh my goodness.
It blows people out, and I can always find it. Where somebody is truly with the gospel, you start throwing stuff like this at them. You start saying, hey, listen, no sin can separate us from God. Even if I were to commit murder today and watch the look on their face. I said it tonight at Tapestry, at the community that I pastor, where they're used to stuff like this and a lot of them were freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a choir, like most churches these days. So there's really no one behind me to see the look on everybody's faces. But holy cow, that's always a great vantage point. And you see these brows. Everybody is just really uncomfortable. A lot of people physically starting to squirm at this, that even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each day, no sin can separate us from God. So go and sin boldly, but trust in Christ all the more. He says later in that letter that we must not preach as if we have fictitious sin and a fictitious Savior. I think Spurgeon played off that years later by saying, listen, if your sin is small, your Savior is small. Mm-hmm. But if your sin is great, then you have a great Savior. Folks, I don't know if anyone's listening to the show tonight, but I'm going to tell you, if you are, you got a great Savior. All right? I don't know you. I don't know your business, but I know you've got great sin in your life.
I mean, I think that's such the key to realizing and to really giving glory to God. I mean, everybody's like, oh, I want to be able to worship God more. I want to be able to, and it's, dude, see how big your sin is, and that's when you will see how big your Savior is. And it's so true. And that's what hinders so many people from worship. Mm-hmm. That's what hinders me from worship, is not realizing how much of a sinner I really am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
Or maybe not even wanting to go there.
No, mm-hmm. No, we don't want to. And this is a lot of what we talked about tonight, because we are a recovery community. And so we're going through the 12 steps, and tonight was step four. No better Sunday to hit step four than Easter Sunday. Step four is we took a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. I just said that, and a lot of you got fearful. A lot of you like, hey. I'd rather take a moral inventory of my spouse.
Yeah.
That's easier. I can do that fearlessly.
Right.
Not a problem. I can knock that right out. Let me tell you what a sinner my spouse is. A lot of you are there, or my friends are, because that's easy, right? And this is why Jesus has to smack us around in Matthew 7 and say, listen, deal with the plank in your eye before you start worrying about the speck in somebody else's. What are you thinking? Give us a call, 877-800-8645. We may even send you a box of Peeps. 877-800-8645. Listening to Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite Radio, Family Net, Channel 161.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Ah,
Yes, true, but let's go ahead and stop that.
You're going to hurt Casey's feelings.
I don't mind. That's hurting my ears.
Dude. Can I get that, like, for me to take home with me? That is awesome.
Yeah, just take it. Suddenly I'm Henny Youngman. Wow.
Take this music, please.
Hey, boom. Awesome. Sin and sin boldly, Garrett. Nicely done.
Hey, now I just want to say you asked for it and you got it. Right?
I didn't ask for that. We said a good version. Holy,
that's like a ton, man.
Jeez, wow.
That is your gift for listening tonight.
Hey, send your cards and letters. Let me give you Garrett's address.
What you get for not calling?
Make us do it again.
Yeah, don't make us do that again. Please call 877-800-8645. Wow. Woo.
Dude, that was awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Awesome is relative. So,
I bet Casey can name the singer, too.
Oh, I can name the singer, but we don't want to do that. Okay. As I've just,
he's probably listening.
Oh, sure, sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, there's a good reason for that. Speaking of sinning boldly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so there you have it.
Yes.
So we're talking about kind of this concept of step four, kind of doing this fearless moral inventory of yourselves. There's a couple ways to do this, but really, this is a great thing. You have to. I don't. We could show this. At church, can't show you on the radio because it's radio. But panther chameleons, they've got this unique ability that God has given them that they can move their eyes in different directions. And still track everything that they're seeing, which is amazing. So they can track two targets at once with their eyes. Really freakish. But I'm telling you, this is how you must approach a moral inventory of yourself. You've got to count the cost of your sin, okay? You need to do this. This 12 steps are not just for addicts. They are for every follower of Christ because they are about spiritual formation. It is at the very heart of the 12-step program, okay? So this is what it is about. They all come out of Scripture. So don't be fearful of this. So step four, this inventory, how do you do that? You've got to keep one eye on your moral inventory, but you've got to keep one eye on the empty tomb. Okay, you've got to keep an eye on that or you're gonna go into an incredible tailspin, and freak out about what an awful, horrible, wretched person you are. Or you're going to look at it and go, hey, I'm not that bad. Why would he not save me? Because I see this in couples all the time, when I've got one addict, if I've got one addict in the family, I'm going to at bare minimum have a codependent co-addict spouse going to be there. And they're the ones who typically go, I didn't do anything. The addict, he's the sinner, not me. Take any couple in the midst of a sex scandal right now, because there are many. Right, that are well known. You got Tiger and Elin, you got Sandra and Jesse, any number. But take them. Elin is not faultless. Sandra is not faultless. Why? Because they're not sinless. But everybody's going to go, well, they didn't do anything. Their spouses are the sinners. No, they're both sinners. Okay? They both contribute to it. It's not Sandra's fault. It's not Elon's fault. But they've contributed. They are sinners too. They are not perfect. They need the empty tomb just as much as you and I do. Okay? So you got to keep an eye on your inventory, an eye on your sin, and an eye on the empty tomb and understand the price that was paid for you. But understand that your sin is the only thing that empty tomb can hold. All right? That's the only thing you can hold. It cannot hold Jesus. It did not hold him. But your sin goes in there, and just imagine tossing it in there and never hearing it hit the ground. Just a bottomless abyss, okay? Because what does Jesus tell us? That God says, I will remember your sins no more. Holy cow, right? So you got to keep your eye on that as you go through this, or you're going to break out your own cat of nine tails and start whipping yourself or say you don't have any problems. Both are sinful positions as well. Okay? That's not going to go where. And there's still kind of this performance gospel. Both these two ends of the performance gospel. One, I'm going to work and be great, and so then God will want to save me, and that's not going to work because Isaiah says on your best day, all you got is rags. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think God was roaming around heaven today going, man, I'm out of rags. I wish Derek would do something for me.
Yeah, no.
I'm low on rags. I got to spill the cleanup in aisle five.
Good gracious.
You know, so all you got is rags, and he doesn't need that. Okay, or you get in this performance position of this really incredible self-pity and shame that, well, you know, God's got to cut me a break because I'm a victim. I didn't do any of this. This has all happened to me. So, of course, I'm a, you know, an incredible sinner because I, you know, I didn't have a choice. I'm, you know, I've been abused and all these things and I'm a victim. And, so God needs to cut me a break. You know, and that's not a good position either. That's not healthy either. You keep your eye on your sin and one eye on the empty tomb. Yes, we are sinners. You're a sinner just like I am. But we are a group of real and great and hard-boiled sinners here at Tal Prince Live. All right? And we serve a Savior who has redeemed us from the most shocking of sins. All right? The most shocking of sins.
Tal, do you ever... taking your analogy that you've got here, do you ever remove one eye from the empty tomb? Mm-mm. Is that always part of the peripheral? You know, like you said on something about Good Friday, you encouraged Christians to race to the empty tomb, but to encounter the cost of sin,
right?
And how Christ sacrificed Himself, and I know you're not saying stop looking away from that hope there.
No, that's a good point. Here's the thing. Well, yeah, the hope is in the empty tomb because the tomb is empty. There's hope there. But I think what you're asking me is, and in context of the 12 steps, and thanks for letting me clear this up, the first three steps are about the cross. The first three steps lead you to the cross and surrender. One, my life's unmanageable, so I came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, and I turned my life over to that higher power. Those three steps lead you to the cross. Step four leads you to the empty tomb. Okay, but you got to go through the cross. The cross alone is our theology. Mm. Back to Luther. So the cross alone is our theology. Without the cross, we've got nothing. But it doesn't end at the cross. You must move through the cross to the empty tomb. Therein lies your hope that we serve a real and risen Savior. Palm Sunday, he rolls into town. He is a distorted king. Okay? He's not what they think. He is a distorted king. On Maundy Thursday, he is a rejected king. And on Good Friday, he is a crucified king. But on Sunday, he is a risen king. We serve a risen king. Therein lies our hope. And as people who struggle with sin, as people who sin and sin boldly, we serve a Christ who has the power of resurrection. That power is given to us through his Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside of us when we surrender our lives to the gospel. When we surrender to Christ, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we have that power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. And we're given that power, and therein lies our hope. Does that answer your question, man?
That is perfect.
Wow.
I like the panther. That is what you said, right?
The panther chameleon?
That's right. Panther chameleon.
Yeah.
I missed the chameleon part.
Oh, yeah. No, panthers can't do that.
I was about to say, man, that would scare the mess out of me.
Panthers are dumb because they're cats.
You imagine a panther looking at you, and it's like, good Lord, he's looking at two guys at once? So panther chameleon. Yeah. I understand that. Yeah.
Which is when you cut your buddy. but listen, as you if you kind of start to do this exercise, you kind of start to look at your sin. Listen, here's what's going to happen. The accuser is going to come to you. Why? Because he has a threefold agenda: to steal and kill and destroy. And he doesn't sleep. Okay? The accuser is coming for you. If you start to look at your sin, you start to look at the stuff that you have done, and you start to really encounter that, trust me, he's coming. So let me give you again a little encouragement from Martin Luther, a great sinner. Here's what he says. You must counter the accuser when he comes. You must counter him with this. Devil, don't you know the power of my Lord Jesus' resurrection? Don't you know the power of his suffering, death, and resurrection? In him there is eternal righteousness and eternal life. His resurrection is mightier than my sin, death, and hell, greater even than heaven and earth. You've got to have that in your mind. And he finishes it with this. This is such a great statement. He says, my death and sin are but minute drops, but my Lord Jesus' death and resurrection is a vast ocean.
Right on.
Mm.
Come yes. on. How are you? I mean, I'll even listen to that music again for that. You know what I mean? That's
yes.
I mean, dude, I'm kidding. And don't
that
do
is
it.
Music to Garrett's ears. Dude, yeah, he was listening to that on the way in. I know he was.
I had that ready.
Wow.
Well, Tal, let me add.
Yeah.
We talked about Sam Harris at the beginning.
Right.
As he's telling us about how we are to be living life mm-hmm. and where we find our foundation, mm-hmm. what would then be your response to him? Based on what he said this weekend, what would be your response?
I'll try and answer it really quick, and if I don't, we'll pick it up on the other side of the break that's coming up. But here, briefly, here's the answer. Because man is fallen and broken, there is no one alive that has escaped the effects of the fall. Our intellect is broken. Our emotions are broken. Our feelings are broken. We tell addicts all the time, your feelings are real. That doesn't make them true. Mm. Okay? Because we are broken, because we are fallible, the system will always break down. Anything that we create is going to break. Mm-hmm. It's not going to work. And he admits that himself when he says, well, no, but if she thinks that and the brain scan shows that she believes that, she's wrong. Mm-hmm. Somebody has to be the final authority. Mm-hmm. I don't want to trust a broken human being with that.
No.
Especially in questions of morality.
That's right.
That's why don't just take anything your pastor or any religious leader says.
Yes,
counter it with
don't.
Scripture. Check it out. We are stupid. We are sinners. We will make mistakes. So don't do that. Check us. Check us in Scripture. You're to be in the Word yourself. And we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on a Sunday night. Sirius Satellite. This is the best radio on radio.
Let's kick it off with something like this.
I'm a night train. A little Tab Benoit for you. A whole lot better than the last break, just saying. Wow. Great to be back with you. We just got a few minutes. And we want to leave you with the power of the resurrection. I want to remind you that there is no sin, no number of sins that you can commit that will cancel out the grace of Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You can't out-sin him. You can't outrun him. You know, my stepfather was good friends with just a giant of a woman named Corrie Ten Boom. The Hiding Place, a lot of these things that y'all have seen, Rin Tramp for the Lord. There's some great, great stuff. But, you know, she was a POW in Auschwitz. She was in the concentration camps, you know, for hiding Jews during World War II. She's got a lot of just towering statements, and this is one of them. There is no sin so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Mm. All right. This is true. And it gets back to Luther. Even if we were to commit murder and adultery thousands of times each and every day. You know, this is the deal. And in reality, you really do. You go back to Jesus in Matthew 5. If you're angry at somebody, you've committed murder. If you've lusted after somebody, you've committed adultery. Yeah. We do it thousands of times a day.
Yeah, we do.
All right. We do. We're guilty. It's about our heart. This is the gospel. Jesus wants your heart. He's not as concerned with your behavior. Too many of us are buying a gospel that is all about behavior modification. It is false. It'll lead you straight to the pit of hell. I am telling you. It is not about what you do. It is not about what you don't do. It is about the work of Jesus on a cross and an empty tomb. Mm. Okay? You know, a lot of us think our sin is so bad that we would need, you know, several Christs to die for us, you know, and the arrogance of that is insane. It is somehow your sin is such that the blood is not effective. And some of you really do kind of live as though you believe Jesus says it is finished, except for George over there. you know, you do. You know, it is finished, except for the homosexuals. No, he died for everyone who will believe in him. He died to pay for everyone who will believe in him. John 3:17, he did not come to condemn this world. He came to save it. Mm. All right? You were part of that. He didn't come to condemn you. He came to die for you, to redeem you, okay, to save you. This is why he came, and this is why we rejoice on this day in an empty tomb. It is not an idle tale. It is not an idle tale. And we need to pray for people like Sam Harris and those that are in the atheistic resurgence. We don't need to demonize them, and forgive us if that's what it sounded like we were doing. That was not my intent. We just want to talk about, you know, the flawed thinking of that and how that's ultimately not going to lead anywhere either, because as long as man is in control, things are going to go really squirrely. You've been in that church, right? Because it's any church, any your pastor will disappoint you. Get ready. Get used to it.
Yep.
You know, Derek disappointed people this morning. I know. You know, and I disappointed people tonight. It's what we do. Why? Because we're people. We're human. But we serve a risen king. He is not a distorted king, a rejected king, or a crucified king any longer. He is a risen king. This must and necessarily change your life. It must change your perspective. It must change your view. This is how you can take a look at yourself and see how great your sin is, and thereby seeing how great your Savior is. If your sin is small, your Savior is small. If your sin is great, your Savior is great. Come on. That is real. That's a great day, right, Derek?
That is the best day.
The only good news there is.
Yeah, it is the only good news there is. It's all we really got. This is why we say the cross alone is our theology. This is the importance of that, that it stands as this towering event in history. It's an amazing thing, an amazing thing, and an amazing fact. Not an idle tale, not a superstition or a myth, but a fact that changes our lives. Thanks so much for listening. Happy Easter to you. He is risen indeed. We will see you again next week on Tao Prince Live, Sirius Satellite, Channel 161. We'll see you next week.